with us this morning. I have a word for the kids. At least they can understand it as well as the rest of us. And kids, if you will behave for me, I'm going to ask you to come in just a few minutes and join me on stage. Is that all right with you, kids? Okay, you can go ahead now and start praying up some nerve for that. Dave Ramsey took a few minutes of my time, so I'll concede that to him and be brief this morning. But I want to read a few verses of most familiar scripture to us. In John's Gospel, chapter 6, beginning at verse 5, it's talking about the miracle of feeding 5,000 people. The New Living Translation reads like this: Jesus soon saw a huge crowd of people coming to look for him. Turning to Philip, Jesus asked, "Where can we buy bread to feed all these people?" He was testing Philip, for he already knew what he was going to do. Philip replied, "Even if we worked for months, we wouldn't have enough money to feed them." Then Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "There's a young boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what good is that with this huge crowd?" "Tell everyone to sit down," Jesus said. So they all sat down on the grassy slopes. The men alone numbered 5,000. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks to God, and distributed them to the people. Afterward, he did the same with the fish, and they all ate as much as they wanted. After everyone was full, Jesus told his disciples, "Now gather the leftovers so that nothing is wasted." So they picked up the pieces and filled 12 baskets with scraps left by the people who had eaten from the 5 barley loaves. This is one of the most famous miracles in the ministry of Jesus. All of us have grown up celebrating this miracle. Even the youngest of the children who are in the room with us this morning have heard this story in Sunday school and in children's church. And we've drained a lot of revelation from this story over the years. It's an old revelation now, but we'll revisit it as we get to a fresh revelation quickly. But I remember reading this years ago and realizing God tests us in order that we may be approved. Our bishop, Houston Miles, says it like this: a lot of times we will face a circumstance in life, and it's hard to discern whether the devil is at play or whether God is the one involved. And the bishop said, usually it's both, but the devil is always tempting us to sin. But at the same time, God can be testing us in order that we might be approved. The Bible says Jesus tested Philip with this question. And then another revelation that we've enjoyed from this passage: God already knows exactly how and when our deliverance will come. We may not know. Whatever need you have today, whatever dilemma, the horrible circumstance you may be facing, you may be clueless as to how and when that circumstance will change and relief will come to you. But God already knows. The Bible said Jesus tested Philip with that question. It was just a test. It was not an actual emergency. It was only a test for Philip, because the Bible says Jesus already knew what he was going to do. Some of us are being tested right now in one area of our life, at least, and maybe more. God already knows exactly how and exactly when the test will be over. And he's given us everything we need to pass the test. And a feeling of hopelessness can settle in with one phrase in this passage. If we stop there and camp there and settle there and refuse to move on from there. And that's when Simon Peter's brother Andrew found a boy in the crowd with a sack lunch. Brought it to Jesus, said there are 5,000 men here hungry, plus their wives and children hungry. And I did find a little boy in the crowd with a sack lunch. And then the overwhelming phrase was, but what is that among so many people? It's easy to get overwhelmed. It's easy when debts are stacking up and there's so many zeros. And you may look in your pocket and say, well, I do have $14. But what is that among such a huge mountain of debt? Or you can tailor make that circumstance to fit whatever situation you're in right now. All you have is a little bit in your hand, and the need is by far so much greater than the little bit you have in hand. It's easy when you're facing a need in your life to be overwhelmed by the magnitude of the need facing you. And then I remember, even as I've done studies on miracles, and I love to study miracles, and I learned a long time ago, miracles are not necessarily altogether sovereign only. God, most of the time, allows us to partner with Him. The gifts of the Spirit in the Corinthians, there are 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit, and don't we love those? But one of the gifts is called the working of miracles. It's not the gift of miracles. It's the gift of the working of miracles. And when you need a miracle, more often than not, the working of your miracle begins with an instruction God will give. An instruction. The disciples needed money to pay their taxes. Jesus gave them an instruction. Go fishing. The first fish you catch, open his mouth and there will be a coin there. Well, somebody had to dig up a worm, get their hands dirty, bait a hook, something I've not done in 35 years and never plan to do again. Unless it's an instruction for a miracle I might need to work, then I'll make an exception. But here's what I learned earlier. Even a miracle requires preparation and organization. Sometimes we do not have the necessary structure in place to support the miracle we need. Before Jesus multiplied that small sack lunch of bread and fish, before the actual miracle occurred, he gave them instructions. Organize yourself. Have the men sit down. One gospel gives more specific details and instruction. Sit them in groups of 50. Imagine 5,000 men plus their wives and children. Now, if every family there were the size of my family, that would be a crowd of 20,000 people. Imagine taking that throng of people and organizing them into small groups of 50. But yet there was an instruction from the Lord to do that, and they had to be prepared and organized to handle the miracle that they needed. God is not altogether random and happen chance. He works through structure. We have to have a skeleton for Him to put meat on the bones. And then I learned this from this miracle in Scripture. Even though God's provision is always more than enough. Always. In fact, one of his names is El Shaddai. God says even in his name, I am more than enough. That's why as children of God, we are better than good enough. But even though his provision is always more than enough, we cannot abandon our responsibility of being good stewards and becoming wasteful. You would think, after such a huge, astounding miracle of taking a sack lunch that would feed one boy for a day and feeding 20,000 people roughly with it, there would not be a need for a footnote about the leftovers. But the instruction came, don't be wasteful. Gather up everything that's left over. One question I'm going to ask when I get to heaven is, what did you do with those 12 baskets full? I mean, if one sack lunch fed that kind of a crowd, how many people in the world were blessed by 12 basketfuls that were gathered? So, one lesson in this miracle is not to be wasteful. God has great purpose even for the leftovers. And then now, moving to today's revelation. It hit me recently. Something I'd not seen in this story before. The mother of that little boy that morning, before he left home, that mom prepared a sack lunch for her boy, and she had no idea when she did it what God would do that day. We woke up this morning. It was another day, just like every day in our life. And none of us knew this morning when we woke up and began our day like we began every other day of our life, exactly what God might have for us later today. None of us knew exactly how God might use something small we have in our hand to be a blessing to so many today. That mother who packed that little boy's lunch had no idea what the events of that day would be. It was just a regular, routine day until God decided to take that small thing, that little thing that the mother had prepared for that boy, and multiply it to be a blessing to so many thousands of people. Now, a sack lunch about like this. The Bible says that it was barley loaves of bread and fish. And theologians break that down. And the intimation is this. It wasn't a wealthy family. In fact, probably lived in poverty, because the bread was made of barley, not even wheat. It was a barley loaf of bread, about the cheapest they could find in that day. And if this story had happened in our times today, the sack lunch would have been about like this. There would have been a little bread in there and maybe a can of sardines. Who's wanting sardines? I'm afraid to open this can, because if the Lord multiplies these like he did that little boy's sack lunch, we're going to be running out of here. But that's A lunch for one boy for one day. Just a little fish and a little bread until that little boy, listen to me, children, until that little boy was willing to give what little he had to the Lord. And the Lord took it and performed a miracle and multiplied it to feed a huge crowd of people. And I have learned this recently about this story in Scripture. When we are facing shortage, God is our surplus. When we're facing shortage, we know where to go. We know who to turn to. Children, listen to me. You have a mother or a father or a grandmother or a grandfather. There's somebody in your life that loves you enough to bring you to church faithfully. Today, we big people have the honor of you worshiping in the auditorium with us. And we celebrate who you are. And you're not too young for God to use. Your parents or your grandparents have given you something. Before you got here this morning, you were given something valuable. Somebody in your family loves you enough to bring you to God's house and to teach you to worship. And already you have value. But on any given day, it may start out like every other day. It may be mundane and normal and nothing special about the day until God asks you to give up a little thing you have in your hand so that He can take it and bless many people with it. And when we are facing shortage, God is always our surplus. And then this little boy had a decision, I'm sure. He had lunch in a bag. And by now he was hungry. Everybody in the crowd was hungry, including that little boy. Nobody else had any food. This little boy, the child, was the only one who had something to eat. And this little boy was not selfish. When one of the disciples said, "You got anything to eat in that little sack?" And he said, "Yeah, before I left home this morning, my mama gave me some bread and some fish for me to have lunch today." And I'm sure Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, probably said, "Would you mind if I take that and see if the Lord can do something with it?" Kids, it's just a matter of time for each of you. You're going to be living your life. It's going to be just another day. Nothing special about that day that you can tell. But somebody's going to ask you, "Do you mind if I take that and see if the Lord can do something with it?" And be like this boy in the story today. He was not selfish. He was not greedy. He was generous. And he said to the disciple, "Sure, take what little I have in my hand and give it to the Lord and see if He can do something great with it." Now listen, kids, we want to be like you. I wish I was a child right now, because it's just something to celebrate when you realize God did not overlook children, but frequently He used children. And then some of the old men that were around Jesus didn't see it like that. In fact, Jesus loved children all the time, and children were attracted to Him. But some of the old guard, those stuck up, stiff, old men, tried to stop the children from getting to Jesus. And Jesus saw what they were doing and he said, don't stop those children from coming near me. Let them come to me. And Jesus said to those old men that were stiff, said, you need to become like those children. If you don't become like the children, you will miss so much of the kingdom of God. And so, kids, you have something that we want. And the Bible says that even a little child will take the lead. God wants to use you children. You're not too young. God's ready to use you any day now. It could happen today like it did with that little boy. And here's the final thing I'll share in what I've learned recently from this miracle. The difference between shortage and surplus is determined by what we do with what's in our hands. The difference between shortage and surplus is determined by what we do with what's in our hands. Now, this is a Bible story that's so real and relevant, and it works for all of us of any size and every age. I'm learning a lot this week from this great miracle in Scripture. And so are the kids. Now listen, kids, I want to invite you to come up here on stage with me. It's just going to be a blast. It's going to be a lot of fun, I'm saying. Come on, kids. Come on up and join me. Come on. Step on out. Where are you? Oh, there they come. Come on up here. Get on stage. I want you to see what it's like. I love those shoes right there. Come on up. Oh, wow. Look at these kids. Yeah, give these kids a hand. Come on. Wow. Come on down this way, gang. There you go. Come on over. Wow. Well, hello. Oh, sweet Lord, look at this. Oh, my, my. Wow. Is this not great? How you like being up here? Is it okay? Is it okay with you? Look out there at all those people. Wow. My, my. Hello. What's your name? Who? Who? Kaylee? Children, when you get older, your hearing doesn't work really well. What? Caden, gotcha. Okay. Hey, boys and girls, did y'all understand the Bible story today? You did understand? Good. And we learned to share with others, not to be greedy, but to be generous, because you never know something that you may want to share. The Lord may take it and do something great with it. Isn't that a great lesson? Are you always going to remember the lesson today? Oh, what's your name, young lady?
Aaliyah.
Oh, that's a beautiful name. You know, in here, in this crowd right here, you never know. One of these young boys or one of these young girls may reach an entire nation. Is that not a powerful possibility? I'm just telling you, we're honored to have you in our church. God wants to use you. You don't have to wait until you get old like some of those people out there. And let me just ask for the record, because some of you will never forget this moment. How many of you know that Jesus is the Son of God, and that He is your Lord? How many of you know that? Do you really know that? Good. Now look, there is no other name. We live in a world where there's other names floating around, and other people claim to be a way to God the Father, but it's only Jesus. And always remember that. Or either He's a liar, because he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And Jesus said, no man goes to the Father except he goes through me. So it's Jesus, the only way to God the Father. And that's forever true for the rest of your life. I'd like for all of you to stand if you would. Everybody stand, and let's just pray a blessing over the